Kuvdali.
Kuvdali.
11 lines at the bottom. The Gemara is, so to speak, trying to figure out how Ram Gamliel was able to make those images of the moon, you know, that for the witnesses that they didn't understand, you know, that they should understand it. So the Gemara started saying, Abai answered, you could basically do it, only the heavenly things you can't do it. And then the Gemara says, heavenly things you also can't do. And the Gemara goes into the whole thing, and the Gemara's last answer was that Ram Gamliel was different because he didn't make it. People made it for him. And like we finished off last week by discussing that even though Lachayit, if I can't do it, how can I tell somebody else to do it for me? So the Gemara answer is rabbinically the Mepharshim say it's rabbinically forbidden. And Ram Gamliel did it for the sake of a mitzvah, that the witnesses should know. So therefore, for the sake of mitzvah, the Chachamim removed their rabbinic prohibition. But basically, for a mitzvah, you're allowed. So the Gemara says, but Rav Yehuda da'achid ha'masulei. But the Gemara says, what do you mean, if others make it, it's allowed? Rav Yehuda, that other people made it for him. There was a case. Some people made an image for Rav Yehuda. But Amalei Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinina means smart one. He said, Shinina, smart one, he used to call him the sharp one, because Rav Yehuda was very sharp. He says, Sama enedidim, remove the eyes of it, meaning take away its appearance, chip it, do something. Why? Because it's a full thing. And even though other people made it, so how could you just get through saying that Ram Gamliel was allowed to have it? Because he didn't make it, others made it for him, and Rav Yehuda was told not to do it. Okay? Why? Because the Gemara, the Farshim explained, because it doesn't look right. People don't know if you made it or you didn't make it. So therefore, why? How can Ram Gamliel keep it? So my answer is Hossam Chesami Boilet. Over there was different. Basically, the story is that Rabbi Yehuda made a ring. You know, they used to have the signet rings for seals. You know, they used to seal it things in wax. So Rabbi Yehuda made this ring with the seal in it. So Shmuel said to him, get rid of it. I mean, chip it a little bit, do something. You can't have it, right? So my answer is over there was a different story. Because Chesami Boilet, the signet part was protruding. You can have two types of stamps. You can have a stamp that it protrudes and you make indentation into the object, or
recessed.
A recessed one, it goes in and then you make an image that comes out a little bit. Now, Chesame Bailet, a protruding one is much worse than a recessed one, because then you have mamish an image. This is obviously, when it's protruding, it's more image than if it's recessed, because then
it's like 3D kind of.
Yeah.
It's sticking out.
The ring was making an image.
Yeah. People used to seal things like that to know that was their seal.
So I think.
What? It was a human face, the Mepharshim say. The one that Yehuda made was like a human face. So Shmuel said to him, "Get rid of it." He didn't make it. So my answer there was worse than Ram Gamliel's, because his was Chesami Beilet Umishum Chshad, and therefore it's a thing not to keep it because of Chshad. Why? Because people are going to say that it was Rav Yehuda's idol.
What's Chshad?
Chshad means suspicion.
Suspicion.
In other words, as Mepharshim explained very simply, not only are you not allowed to do something wrong, you're not allowed to do something right if people will suspect you that it's doing wrong. In fact, this Rav Yehuda that we're talking about, the Gemara, Rav Yehuda ben Rabbi Cheskel, the Gemara says about him that he once said on himself, he was the Rav of the city, he said, if I take meat from the butcher on credit, when nobody else does, it's a Chilul Hashem. Why? Because if they know this butcher doesn't give credit to anybody, and I go in and take meat without paying, people are going to think I'm a Ganef. And he's a rabbi of the city, nobody's going to think that he's a Ganef. He said, the fact that nobody does it, and I'm not doing anything wrong, the guy is giving me credit. But if people can suspect the wrong way, that's the problem with Chilul Hashem. So Shmuel said, and we learn now from a pasuk really in Chumash. It says, V'yisim nekiyim me'ashem me'yisrael. You should be clean from God and from people, from Jews. Meaning, you're never allowed to do anything, even though what you're doing is right, that people will suspect that you're doing something wrong. So the Gemara says, the problem with Rav Yehuda's ring, that Shmuel didn't like it, was it was protruding. And they didn't want people to say that Rav Yehuda had this getchke, you know, this type of idol on him. Mm. So, but as far as others making something which is not suspicious, then there's no problem. Okay, the Tanya, like it says in the Braise, Tabas, if you have a ring, it says an interesting halacha, opposite halacha. Tabas, if somebody has a ring with an image on it, so chisami beilet, if the signet is protruding, asala nicha, you're not allowed to keep it on your finger, but mutter lachtenbe, you can use a seal with it. Why? Because when you take it into the wax, it becomes depressed. Depressed goes in. So then what you're making is not an image. But the ring is a problem to have. What happens though? What happens if the ring is recessed, meaning it's depressed, meaning inside, then you're allowed to have the ring, because it's not an idol, because it's inside. But you're not allowed to seal with it. Why? Because it produces an image on the wax that's protruding from the wax, and that you're not allowed to do. So what do you see from this? That as a ring, a seal, a ring that is protruding is worse than in Alato. That's why Shmuel told Rav Yehuda in Alato to do it.
Protrude or recessed?
Huh?
Recessed or protrude?
No, his was protruding.
Which is worse, he says now.
Ring-wise, protruding is worse.
Protruding.
But sealing, recessed is worse, because when you seal it, what you're sealing comes out.
Yeah.
So now the Gemara says, you're telling me that the Shmuel told Rav Yehuda to get rid of it because of suspicion. So the Gemara said, are we afraid of suspicion? Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody. Why? The Gemara says a story. There's a certain synagogue in Shav Yosef, the name of a place of Nardor, the Havebe Andarta, that had a statue of a king. Had a statue of the king. Meaning it was made in honor of the king. Rav and Shmuel went in there. Vavod Shmuel and the father of Shmuel, Levi and Levi. These are all great amidoyim of the Gemara. Umatz lahasam, and they davened there. If there's a statue of a king in the shul, why aren't you afraid that people are going to think they're davening to the statue? So from there you see we're not afraid of suspicion. The Gemara answers. Rabim Shaini, a multitude of people is different. Meaning, the fact that many people, it's in a public place, we might be afraid one or two people are going to worship idols. That the whole shul is going to worship idols, nobody's afraid of it. So obviously, the fact that in the shul, in a public place, there's a statue, I'll give you an example. In many cities, they have statues. In Prague, there's a statue of Mrami Prague. In different places, there's statues. But nevertheless, nobody's going to say that the people are going to be chayshes and to worship the Marami Prague over there. It's in a public place. It's in a public place. Nobody's going to go serve.
Made this image?
The Goyim did. Of the Marami Prague?
Yeah.
The Goyim did. Not the...
But I'm trying to think, in this case with the Amoraim, were they facing the statue?
No, obviously not.
Right, so I mean, what's the problem if they're not facing it?
The fact that image is there,
but it doesn't look like you're davening to it if you're not facing it. If you're just davening in a corner,
and obviously they didn't daven facing it. I mean,
but what happened to the prohibition of not making images? But
they didn't.
Public
make
area
it.
Is okay.
No, they and didn't make it. The guy made it. In fact, he bring down over here. The Aruch says that this statue is a Persian idol erected in the synagogue during a period of religious persecution against the will of the Jews. The Jews didn't even want it. But they had no choice to take it out because they're under Goyish rule and they would be killed. So even though for Aveda Zara you have to give up your life, but the Gemara says it's not Aveda Zara. Because in a public place, everybody knows you're not going to be davening to it. Mm-hmm. But an individual to have such a thing in a public place would be forbidden.
What about in a privacy of his own home?
No. Wouldn't be allowed to have it.
Wouldn't be allowed to have it.
No. So the Gemara asks, but Ram Gamliel Yachidu, but Ram Gamliel was an individual, and yet he kept the moon stuff. So the Gemara says, Kima the Nasi, the fact that he was the Nasi, meaning the leader of the Yiddish people, Shchicha Rabban Gabei, his office was like a public office, so it wasn't any privacy anymore. His office was a public place, because he was the leader of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there was not a concept of Avodah Zarah. He voiced him another answer, the Prakim Havim. It's an interesting concept. Rabban Gamliel's moon was made out of pieces. It wasn't one piece of a moon. So the fact that there is, like, there's four pieces, let's say, whatever. So then each piece doesn't look like a moon. Mm-hmm. So it's not really one piece of a moon that's Avodah Zarah. It's piecework. And the fact that they were all unassembled and people didn't see it regular basis, it wasn't suspicious. The boy same another answer. It says l'slamit of it. Rabban Gamliel made it for the purpose of studying. What does it mean? Because achsiv, like it says in the pasuk, leisilmid la'asis, you're not allowed to learn to do the abominations. Meaning, at aval at lomad lahavin olahedis, you're not allowed to learn yourself. The Torah says as follows: you're not allowed to learn to do these idols. Meaning, you're not allowed to learn anything of idol worshipping for the sake of doing. But if you're doing it to teach, and teach the laws, then it's okay. For instance, the Rashi explains, Sanhedrin, and the Rambam brings this down too interestingly, Sanhedrin had to know Avodah Zarah. Sanhedrin had to know all the concepts of Avodah Zarah. Why? Because if a Jew worshipped idols, and they were brought to Bezdin, so Bezdin had to know, is he an idol worshipper? If not, if they didn't know what idol worshipping is, how are they supposed to know if the guy worship? So obviously they did it to be able to paskin shilas and to be able to know. Correct? So therefore the Gemara is answering that Gamliel didn't do it. You're not allowed to make these things to learn for yourself, because then you were afraid you might go worship idols. But in order to publicly do it, like Rabban Gamliel in the case of the Levana, that he needed to know who is the what is it, so then the din is he was allowed to do it. And that's the Gemara's basic answer is Rabban Gamliel did it, number one, it was a public place. Number two, Rabban Gamliel did it because it was piecework. There's a lot of 10 answers why Rabban Gamliel eventually. You know, why Rabban Gamliel made this picture of the a model of the moon, even though Lachere was causing Avodah Zarah to happen.
Anyway, is it a heter for learning other religions too?
No, today it's forbidden for any Jew to learn any other religions, because today you don't have to prosecute, and today, you know, there's no such thing. The other bookcase in the back. Oh, there's one here. You know what the red one is there? You're not allowed to learn other, like, for instance, it's biblically forbidden for a Jew to study Christianity or any other of those religions.
How can you convince somebody else who's doing
so
that?
So the Shaila is individuals which are doing it for the sole purpose of discouraging others.
Yeah,
but you need a rabbi to tell you that you could do it. Because otherwise, you don't want, God forbid, that this gonna, you learn about it and it'll affect you. The person has to be very careful. It's a very delicate issue to be able to do it or not to do it.
Let's say you have a religious person, or just a Jew that teaches astronomy. Can you have like a
moon? Astrology.
Or let's say the thing with the moon.
Oh, okay, astronomy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Can he have? Would he be able to have something like that? Display things and.
If it's done like the Rabban Gamliel style, though, is publicly in this and that, then it would be allowed to. But as like this, no, it'd be questionable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like in a laboratory.
Yeah, but again, if it's made to teach rather than according to the Gemara's final answer, that if you're doing it to teach, then you're allowed to. Okay, then the bottom line of the page. The Mishnah says, Ma'aseh Shebo Shnayim, there's a story, once happened, two witnesses came, and they said, Ra'inu Shachris B'Mizrach. In the morning we saw the moon on the east. Meaning they saw the old moon. Okay? Va'arvis B'Mayriv. And we saw the new moon that evening in the west. Remember we learned there's the old moon disappearing and there's new moon coming. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to learn now in the Gemara, there's a 24-hour period between the two. Okay, from the time the old moon disappears until the new moon is visible is 24 hours.
No moon at all.
Right. Now, these two witnesses came and said, we saw the old moon in the morning and the new moon at night, meaning a 12-hour difference. Right? So, Amar Rav Yechon ben Nuri, Eidi Sheker Hem. They're liars. Because it can't be in 12 hours that you see the old moon to the new moon. It has to be at least 24 hours.
Do those liars get fed also?
Depends. Depends when they're caught lying.
One time is the liars. One time is they're not liars.
But the words I finished, an interesting thing. Shabal Yavne, but when these witnesses came to Yavne, which was where the Sanhedrin was, meaning where Ram Gamliel was, Kiblan Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel accepted them. And the Gemara is going to explain, L'chir Adin Ram Gamliel accept them if they're definitely liars. The Gemara is going to explain it, but the bottom line is, the first Beis Din said they're not kosher because there's no 24-hour period, and Ram Gamliel accepted them. Another case was, the two people came and they said, Lo'inu Bizman, we saw the moon on the 30th day. But in the following night, it wasn't seen. It wasn't visible. Now obviously it wasn't cloudy, because then the Gemara wouldn't be talking about that. The Gemara says, in other words, Monday night the witnesses, they came Tuesday, and Monday night, they said Tuesday morning, we saw the moon Monday night. But Tuesday night they didn't see the moon. So what happened? Kiblum Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel said they're kosher witnesses. And he made the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. Amar Abdesa ben Hukinis, Abdesa ben Hukinis said, Eidi Shekehin. What do you mean, they're liars? You can't see a moon and then not see it. He gives an example. Heich me'inin alisha sheyolda. How can you testify a woman gave birth and the next day the baby is back inside the stomach? Umach ha'krisa ben shenel. His belly, it literally means her stomach is between her teeth. It's an expression that she's very fat, meaning she's still pregnant. So Rav Deisa said to Ram Gamliel, yesterday there's a moon and today there's no moon. What happened? It went back. The baby went back in. They're liars. And this is one of the most famous stories in the Gemara. What happened now? Amalei Rav Yeshua. So Rav Yeshua said to Rav Deisa, Rei ani es dvarach, you're right. Ram Gamliel's wrong and you're right. Now, the problem is, this month was Tishrei. It wasn't the regular month. It was Tishrei. What happened? So Ram Gamliel basically said, don't forget, the witnesses came Tuesday. And they said we saw the moon Monday night. So Ram Gamliel made Rosh Hashanah Tuesday. Correct? I mean, as an example, right? Rabbi Deisa and Rabbi Yeshua said it can't be Tuesday, it has to be Wednesday. Because they didn't see the moon Monday night, not see it Tuesday. So obviously, they didn't see the moon Monday night. So therefore, not Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday is Rosh Hashanah. Right? Now, according to Ram Gamliel, Yom Kippur is a day earlier than according to the other two people, according to Rabbi Shua and Abdesa, right? Now, Shalach le Ram Gamliel, Rabbi Shua said, Ram Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yeshua. Gerzani Alecha, I decree upon you. That you come to me with your money and your walking stick on the day of Yom Kippur, which is according to Yom Kippur. Rav Gamliel wanted to show that he's right and Rav Yeshua is wrong. And the Mefarshim say he only did this to Rav Yeshua, not to Rav Deisa, because Rav Yeshua was the head of the Beis Din under Rav Gamliel. Rav Deisa was a tamei guy, you know. But Rav Yeshua was the number two in command. And if Rav Yeshua would dissent against Ram Gamliel, it would be a big problem for the Jews. And I'll explain why in a second. So Ram Gamliel sent a message to Rav Yeshua. On the day you say is Yom Kippur, I'm ordering you to come to me with your money and your walking stick to show that it's not Yom Kippur. The Gemara's not folded yet. Halach Amatzah Rabbi Kiva Meitzah. Rabbi Kiva went, this is what the Gemara is learning so far. Rabbi Kiva went and saw Rabbi Yeshua was distraught. Why? Because Yeshua said, I'm going to be Mechal Yom Kippur. It's my Yom Kippur, right? According to my Cheshbon, it's Yom Kippur. I'm going to desecrate Yom Kippur. Amalei, said Rabbi Akiva, said to him, take it easy. Don't worry about it. Yashli Lilmeid, I have a proof to learn. Shekol Masha Asir Ram Gamliel Asir, whatever Ram Gamliel did is done, even if he's wrong. That means even if Ram Gamliel's wrong, he's right. And therefore, Yom Kippur is Ram Gamliel's Yom Kippur, not yours. So don't worry that you're going to be desecrating Yom Kippur. Because you're not going to be desecrating Yom Kippur. Because Ram Gamliel makes this Yom Kippur, that's Yom Kippur whether you like it or not. Why? Shenama, because it says in the Pasuk, Eile Me'ed Hashem Mikrei Kedesh, Asher Tikru Eisam, these are the festivals of Hashem, that you call them. Now, Eisam normally should be written Aleph Vav Sof Mem. But the Torah says Atem without the Vav. So without Nekudis, you could read it Asher Tikru Atem. These are the holidays that you call. You call, meaning Bein Bizmanam, Bein She'en Lei Bizmanam. Whether they're in the right time, whether in the wrong time, Einli Me'adis Ele'el, Hashem says, the Yom Tov is when you guys make it. Okay? So he said to him, don't worry about it. Because Alpidin, what did Rabbi Yeshua worry? Rabbi Yeshua worried that he was right, and Yom Kippur would be, let's say, Friday, I mean, whatever, I mean, no, it would be Thursday, right? Be Thursday. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it was Wednesday, let's say, right? So he said, don't worry about it. If Rabbi Gamliel made it Wednesday, it's Wednesday. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Because if Bezdin does some, and the Gemara is going to say, even if they did it intentionally, Bezdin just for the fun of it, they didn't do things for the fun of it, but if Bezdin said, today is Rosh Hashanah, that's it, it's Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Kiva, calm down, Rabbi Yeshua, that you're not going to be Mechal Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yeshua came on the way to Rabbi Gamliel. He came to Rabbi Deisa. Amalei, who said to him, Rabbi Deisa said to Rabbi Yeshua, don't worry about it. In Ba'im, Na'anu Lodin, Achabez Dino, Sheram Gamliel. If we're going to have to reconsider decisions of Ram Gamliel, we're going to have to reconsider and appeal every decision of every Bezdin from the days of Mayimais Yeshua Rachshav, from Meshur Rabbeinu until now. And we can't do that, obviously. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Vayal Meshur V'Aaron Nadav Avil V'Shiv Mizikna Yisrael, Meshur and Aaron and all the elders went up. Yeah. So it says, Lamele Nispashu Shmeisim Shoskenim. Why doesn't the Torah say the names of the elders? Lalamit to teach us. It's a very interesting concept. Shekol Shnei Shnei Shishamdu Bezdin Al Yisrael. Any group of three rabbis that become a Bezdin, yeah, Ayok Bezdin Shomesh is the same authority as the Bezdin of Meshur Rabbeinu. So he said, Ram Gamliel is exactly like Meshur Rabbeinu. If Meshur Rabbeinu did it, it's good. Ram Gamliel did it, it's also good. Don't worry about it. So what happened? It's interesting. Notel Makle, said Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shua, I mean, took his money, his stick, meaning, because Rabbi Kiva said to him, don't worry about it, and Rabbi Deisa said to him, don't worry about it. Even though he might be wrong, but he's right anyway. So what did he do? Notel Makle, Umeisa Biyodei. Rabbi Yeshua took his money and his walking stick. He went to Ram Gamliel on the day that Rabbi Yeshua thought was Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. If you understand what happened over here. Amad Ram Gamliel v'nishake ha'reishim. So Ram Gamliel got up and kissed Rabbi Yeshua on his head for coming. And he said, Bei b'shalom Rabbi v'talmidei. Come, my Rabbi and my student. Now Rabbi Yeshua was a student of Ram Gamliel, because Ram Gamliel was the head of the Nasi, the head of the Bezdin. But he said, come to me in peace, my Rabbi, my student. What does it mean? Rabbi b'chachm. You're my Rabbi in my wisdom. In wisdom, you're greater than me. Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, v'talmidei, and you're my student, shekibaltas dvari, you accepted my words. So this is the Mishnah. So the Gemara basically is saying, that there were cases that the witnesses with l'cheira for sure liars, and nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel accepted, and the Gemara is going to explain, but why did Rabbi Gamliel accept him? There's two cases over here. Number one, there was a case that was a 12-hour difference instead of 24-hour difference. That was the first lie, l'cheira.
Maybe there were no other witnesses.
And then the second one was, they said we saw it one night and the next night we didn't see it. And Rabbi Gamliel accepted them. Okay?
But Rabbi Gamliel knew that he was wrong, apparently.
Rabbi Gamliel didn't know he was wrong.
What he said to his student.
Rabbi Gamliel's going to, we'll see in the Gemara why Rabbi Gamliel did what he did. But there are a few instances. This is a few instances that Rabbi Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua, and this is one of the cases that led to the ouster of Rabbi Gamliel as the head. Remember the famous story of Elazar ben Azai? He grew white hair overnight because he was only 18. That the Gemara in Saita discusses because of this incident and two more incidents that happened that Rabbi Gamliel did this to Rabbi Yeshua. When he disagreed with him, he was firm to Rabbi Yeshua, and the students of the yeshiva said, how long more is Rabbi Gamliel going to be like this? We can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And they ousted Rabbi Gamliel. Mm-hmm. And they put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azai. They impeached him. And they put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azai. And after Rabbi Gamliel, repented, mm-hmm. they put Rabbi Gamliel back as the head, together with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaiah. And Rabbi Gamliel would preach 2 weeks, and he would preach 1 week or 3 weeks, and I don't remember all the details, that they would share the leadership. But this was one of the stories that the Gemara says. Now, obviously, what went on is as follows. It's a very simple thing over here. There had to be a power of Bezdin. Okay? If there's a dissenting opinion, and not a dissenting opinion, it's Rabbi Shua's number two, says Rabbi Gamliel doesn't know what he's talking about, this is going to allow Jews to split. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then Gamliel, as the head of the Beis Din, said it can't be. We can't allow this to happen, even if you're right, Rabbi Yeshua. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be dissenting, and it's going to be start arguing, when is Rosh Chodesh, and everybody's going to start saying different opinions, it's going to be a churban. It's going to be mamish and destruction of the whole system. So Rabbi Gamliel, Bechla was Gvura, Dick. Mm-hmm. Bechla, Rabbi Gamliel, Api Kabbalah was Gvura. Very, very strong, you know, but he had to be because he was the head of the Beis Din. But you see, what did he do when Rabbi Yeshua came to him? He didn't take it. He kissed him and he said, you're my Rebbe in wisdom, but you're my student, that thank God you listened to me. But it wasn't that Rabbi Gamliel said, you see, I'm right and you're wrong. It wasn't, God forbid, you're talking about Rabbi Gamliel was the greatest tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. But he had to keep it there for the sanity, so to speak, and security of Beis Din.
You know, when it says Elam Moadeh Shetikru, that's talking about like the festivals, like Yom Tov, right, and things. I was just wondering. Let's say it's you want to know about Shabbos, but Shabbos is like, if you're, let's say, on a deserted island or something, and you don't know which day is Shabbos, and are you allowed to make that day?
It says in Halacha, you count 6 days, 7 days. Shabbos is the whole process in Halacha what to do. But there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov.
But how can
Yom Tov is completely up to Beis Din. Uh-huh. Shabbos is not. That's what we learned many times. By Shabbos and davening a Shabbos, you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh HaShabbos. Right? Mm-hmm. You don't say Mekadosh Yisrael VaHashabbos. Mekadosh HaShabbos, because only God sanctifies Shabbos.
So let's say
by Yom Tov, we say Mekadosh Yisrael VaHazmanim, because God sanctifies the Jews, because the Jews make the Yom Tov, not God. The Gemara says, the Malachim come to Hashem and say, hey God, when's the party of Rosh Hashanah? When's the New Year's party? Meaning, the Satan has to know when to prosecute, the Malach Michal has to know when to defend, right? So they have to know when Rosh Hashanah is. So you come to Hashem and say, hey God, when's the party, you know? So Hashem said, I don't know, when Beis Din proclaims Rosh Hashanah, we'll come down and judge the world. That means Hashem says, it's not up to me. Beis Din sanctifies the Chagim. Eila meida Hashem Hashitikru Atem, instead of Esam, Atem afilu shaygigim mizidim mutoin. meaning even if Bezin makes a mistake, even if they did it intentionally the wrong date, for whatever reason they did it, right? Bezin has the authority, and that becomes the Kedusha. When is it a holier day? When Bezin says, today is Rosh Hashanah, more Kedusha comes into the day. If Bezin decides it's tomorrow, then tomorrow is when the Kedusha comes down.
So on a deserted island, nobody can make Yom Tov by himself.
Correct. Well, you have to know, approximately, it could be one of a few days. You'd have to keep Safik, no Melacha, Trillin, yes, Melacha not. I mean, there's a lot of dinim in Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole thing in Shulchan Aruch. A guy that gets lost in the desert, when does he keep Shabbos if he doesn't remember?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Today you can call on a cell phone. Yeah, right.
But that's the thing. He might be keeping Shabbos on a different day than the whole rest of the world is keeping. It doesn't matter.
That's the halacha that he has to do.
Not a choice.
Certain times he's not allowed to do melacha for a few days. You know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, question. Yeah.
You can even say the name Gamliel itself is Gvura.
Yeah.
Because Gimel.
Well.
Aleph is Alupo Shalom before it breaks even.
It says in Kabbalah, I'm Gamliel B'chal. Not only is the name, the personality, the
right,
name,
but
everything.
But the Beit is like Hashpa, Chalashini, Chasadim, and Gimel is like Vayigamel Yitzchak, which is Atzira, holding back of
Yeah. And the Rebbe's father, the Yitzchak, there's a whole thing about Gamliel being good, the whole level of Gvurim, the Kabbalistic things behind it. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in the Braise. So now the question is, why did Rav Gamliel accept the witnesses if there's normally has to be a 24-hour grace period of no moon, and the witnesses testified between the old moon and the new moon was only 12 hours. And yet Rav Gamliel accepted them. So it says, Amnam Rav Gamliel HaChacham, Rav Gamliel said to the Chachamim, how did I accept these witnesses? Because Kach Mekubalani Mibes Avi Abba, so I received from my grandfather's house, meaning Hillel, or it's Ram Gamliel, his father's father was Ram Gamliel Hazakin, who was the grandson of Hillel. So it was like, this is the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it travels a long route, and sometimes it travels a short route. Meaning, normally it takes 24 hours between the old moon and the new moon. But there is a possibility, okay, the possibility in the whatever. It's possible it takes a short route and he could see it after 12 hours. Now the Mefarshim, the bottom, discussed that according to our calculations, it's mamish impossible. But the Rav Gamliel's time, okay, takes a longer route, sometimes a shorter route. So therefore, Rav Gamliel said, as far as I'm concerned, there is a slight possibility that they did see the new moon 12 hours after the old moon disappeared. And they validated the witnesses, so therefore it's fine. Because according to Rav Gamliel, it wasn't impossible. It was strange, it was out of the ordinary, but it was possible.
Maybe that every 28 years or something.
Huh?
Maybe every 28 years when the sun comes to its original place.
I don't know. I don't know. It just says over here, impossible, not impossible, whatever. And then it says, Rabbi Yechanan said, my time of the way, Rabbi, why is it that sometimes the moon seems to get lost, you know? Sometimes it takes a long route, sometimes a short route. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the moon always go? He says, no, it says in the Pasuk. Also, Yerech L'mayadim, he made the moon for the times, Shemesh Yodam Avay, the sun knows it's coming. Meaning, Shemesh Hudu Yodam Avay, the sun knows it's coming. The moon doesn't always know when it's coming. Meaning, the Pasuk in Tillim says, the sun knows its way, the moon obviously doesn't, because it says only the sun knows its way. Which means sometimes the moon gets lost a long way, a short way, whatever. It's not always the same. The sun is always uniform. Like we know, by the sun, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows this, January 1st of every single year is exactly the same sunrise and sundown. March 3rd every year, it doesn't matter if you have a calendar that says it for 63 or 68 or 10,000 a million, whatever, every March 3rd is the same exact sunrise and sundown. Every year. It's constant. The moon obviously keeps changing, but the sun, every day of the year, you can know from any calendar you have from previous years what time sunrise and sundown is. Because the sun doesn't change. March 3rd is March 3rd. March 10th is March 10th any year you want.
That could be a proof why it says the earth is stationary as and the sun goes around the earth. That could prove it, no?
They're both theories. The only way you could prove it if you go above the sun and the moon and see what goes around what. Because of relativity, you can't tell.
Both opinions are... Some take one opinion, some...
Basically, the third opinion is that according to the Rambam, the earth doesn't move at all and everything goes around the earth. According to science, the earth goes around the sun. Now, to prove it, it's impossible if you go above the sun and the moon to be able to see what goes around what. Because then you can look from the distance. But relativity, like, you know, you ever see, if you're in a car and the other car starts moving, it feels like you're moving. Right? Mm-hmm. Or like a train, that's even more.
Yeah.
When a train starts moving, it feels like you're moving. You don't know, because relativity, it could be both moving. You know what I mean? But according to Seichel, it makes sense that everything should go around the earth. Because the epitome of creation is earth, not the sun. The sun was made to serve the earth. Lahoyer alaharitz. So what should go around what? The king around the servants or the servants around the king? So obviously it makes more sense for the servants to go around the king than the king to go around the servants. It says in Chumash, Hashem made the sun to shine on the earth. Right? So that means the sun was made to serve earth. So if sun was made to serve earth, it makes sense. The sun should go around the earth. Next is a cute story. Rav Chiya Chazil Nasiara. Rav Chiya once saw the old moon. The old moon. Davakar Betzafer Dasim V'Tisha, which was visible on the morning of the 29th. What happened was as follows. Beis Din wanted to make, let's say Monday morning, they saw the old moon. Yeah? Beis Din, for a number of reasons, wanted to make Monday night Rosh Chodesh. Tuesday Rosh Chodesh. Now, we learned that between the old moon and the new moon, you need 24 hours. So if you see the moon in the morning, Monday morning, it's impossible to see the new moon Monday night. Unless you're having Gamliel with that weird case. But normally, if the old moon is seen Monday morning, you can't see the new moon Monday night. And Beis Din wanted the new moon to be seen Monday night.
Maybe it's Monday night, late towards the next morning.
Doesn't matter, it's still not 24 hours, no. So he says what happened. Shakal Kala Pasig Bay. He took a bunch of earth and threw it at the moon, and it said, Lo'or Tabina La Kudushibach. We want to make Rosh Chodesh tonight. Va'at Kaim Esach, and you're here. Zil Niskasa, go cover yourself. Get lost. He told the old moon, disappear. Because if anybody sees you, they're not going to be made tonight to Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. And Beis Din, for whatever reason it is, either because they didn't want Yom Kippur and Shabbos together, remember? It was Rosh Hashanah again, right? So if tonight, if the next day would not be Rosh Chodesh, then you'd have a Shabbos and a Sunday to Yom Kippur, like. You know what I mean? And we learned before in the Gemara, you can't have Yom Kippur on Friday or Sunday. So Beis Din needed to make that night Rosh Chodesh. That means that witnesses should see the moon. But if somebody saw the moon Monday morning, there was no way they could make a Monday night. So what's his name? Rav Chiya, obviously he's not a little kid, think, okay, go away, go away. Rav Chiya got rid of the moon.
He did?
Yeah.
How can you play with nature?
It's called Tzaddikim doing miracles.
Maybe the cloud covered it.
Well, you know, also learned you can't do a mitzvah with a miracle.
If they could have raised the dead, I mean, I could probably do that.
They weren't going to sanctify the moon.
Let's just finish this one second. Amale Rabbi and Serapchia. So Rabbi said to Rabchia, the Rabchia was the one that threw the earth at the moon to get rid of it. So Rabbi said to him, Zil Ein Tav, go to the city of Ein Tav, Vikach Eliyachim, sanctify the moon. Meaning as follows. He told him to go to Ein Tav where the moon couldn't be visible that day. So in Ein Tav, nobody would see the moon in the morning, the old moon. So they could make the new moon at night, nobody would know the difference. But once he made it, Rish Chedesh, tough luck, like we said before, it's Rish Chedesh. And send me a signal, he said, send me a signal that you did it with David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Because we know, like we say by Kiddush Levana, because David Melech is likened to the moon. Right, that's what we said, David Melech, it's Malchus. And Malchus is the Levana. So he said to him, I want you to go over there where nobody saw the old moon, so nobody would know that you're doing crazy things. Proclaim Rosh Chodesh in that city and send me a message that you didn't. And then we'll take care of the rest.